Hey, good. We're ready to go. So I'd love to finish the conversation we had last week about transitioning the orientation for the key groups to make sure we're all on the same page for that and make sure people know. Hold on a second, y'all. We're having dog problems here. Okay, so I'd love to finish that conversation about the key group orientation. We have a donation blurb that's been reworked a little bit, so I thought we could go through that and work on that. And we also have a blurb. Hang on a second. Sorry, we're just getting ourselves sorted out here a little bit. We also have a blurb about facilitator, what facilitation is like. Sorry, guys, just multiple distractions. Okay, I think we've got it settled now. And then there's some, we had a conversation last week about getting newcomers dialed into the practice and how to do that. We may or may not get to that, depending on what else we've got going on. So what do people out there, what do you have that you'd like to talk about? Maybe you could just take just a couple, three words about what it is, and I'll make a little list. Anybody have any facilitation issues or what's going on with you kind of stuff you want to talk about?
Dave, this is Marie. I have one kind of short question.
Okay.
Dave, this is Karen. This doesn't have to be discussed today, but I just at some point wanted to see talk about inviting friends to the group and when it doesn't turn out and that kind of thing.
Okay, got it. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's start off and see how we do. The transitioning the key group orientation, what I remember from our conversation last week is that we were pretty much in agreement that that would be a good idea to move it out of the beginning of the hour and move it to the beginning and have people come early for an orientation. Is that what other people remember, or do people remember things, or do people have other different opinions than that?
That's what I remember.
Okay.
Me too, Dave.
Okay. And after having sat with that for a week, do people, does that seem like a good idea to people still to kind of, I'm imagining we'll set it up kind of in the way that the established sitting group set it up, where there's a, you know, could do it every week or every other week or whatever, where people just come like 15 minutes early, get an official orientation, then they know how to be there. And when the group officially begins, then they're all prepped. That does involve some, you know, logistical more work on the part of the people who are organizing the groups, because of course you got to set that up and you got to be there. But that's what I was thinking. I wonder if there's any feedback about that or other ideas or anything like that.
This is Melinda. It seems like even though it's a little bit more work, it in the long run will definitely make it easier for the facilitators.
Uh-huh.
Because people will have a chance to be dialed in without the facilitator having the pressure of, oh God, half the people in the room have already heard this and that kind of thing.
Right, right. Yep. Okay,
Dave,
yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi. Well, you know, it seems like one person will come at a time. And so there's only one person, if that's kind of been my experience. Two people have come, each came a different time. So would you still, and I'm continuing to invite people, new people. If it's just one person coming, would you still want me to go ahead and do that since there's nobody, you know, nobody else there to be distracted with that? I can do it ahead of time. It's not a problem for me.
Yeah. Well, I guess it kind of does take away the motivation when we want people there to be there, so we're not distracting the rest of the group with just another orientation, but there is no rest of the group. So.
Right, right. Now, I hope that changes, but I don't know, you know, if people will come or not.
Yeah, hard to know about that. But, well, that makes sense to me to keep it like it is, right? If that's the way it continues, then you could, as your group grows, if it does, you could transition into the new
Okay,
way.
Okay.
So I'm sensing from that there's we're kind of settled with this. Any other comments?
Dave, this is Marie. I had one comment. You know, I know the Kika groups are different from the sitting groups, but to me 15 minutes would seem like a short amount of time to do an orientation. Now, you know, I know for the sitting group, we also have to go through the meditation hall procedure. You know, all that's, you know, they need help with that. And then I also show the meditation video.
Can you turn it down?
But I just wondered if 15 minutes was enough time to do the amount of orientation needed.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's interesting about the meditation video.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't really thought about, I mean, that obviously makes a lot of sense for the sitting groups. I hadn't thought about that in terms of the key group. Anybody have a take on that?
This is Tracy.
Tracy?
On the 15-minute part, I actually had a new woman last week that I had her meet me 15 minutes early, and it totally was enough time. And it's really helpful to have the handouts to be able to give out. So I don't think it needs to. My experience was it was enough time. And the meditation video, it brings up a couple things for me. One is, for those of us that don't have sitting groups, is there some kind of plan, or is the movement towards doing a sitting group? And if that's the case, I'm really in favor of doing the meditation video. I had the opportunity to share that with some folks a couple of weeks back, and I really think it's a great tool.
Yeah, I do too, for both kinds of groups. You know, we're making the distinction, you know, we're not, in the key groups, people are not teaching meditation, and, you know, meditation is not actually part of the evening, I think. I think it was just like, you know, those little short guided imagery kinds of things. But it does seem like it would be really useful for people to have. I could see it going a couple different ways, and I'm could see what other people think. For the Kree groups, one way to do it would be to have it as a loaner that people could use. That's the only way I can really see it working completely, but I might be missing something.
That comes up from Melinda. That was exactly what I was thinking. Then it doesn't put the facilitator in the position of needing to answer questions about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what I was looking at, too.
And this is Tony. One thing that I like about that, too, is that I really liked the discussion about getting them more dialed into the practice that I know we may not talk about today, but I'm wondering if, you know, letting them be able to borrow that video and see that, if that would strengthen or, you know, help them be more, a little more dialed into the practice.
Yeah, that, I would think it really would. That goes along. One of the ideas from last week was to have like lending libraries where people can borrow a book and then return it in order to kind of educate themselves on the practice and what it's all about. And that could be a part of that.
Yeah.
How long is the tape, the meditation tape?
No, I don't really know. How long is it?
It's about 25 minutes if you do, you know, show all the parts besides the formal meditation period.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about 20 or 25 minutes.
Another idea I had was I think this might could work is if people knew in advance that, like, after the group 1 week, they're going to show the video.
Mm.
And, you know, the facilitators for the key groups would just have to make it clear that they're not really in a position to teach meditation. But you know, Sherry covers it in the video. So, just as another possibility.
Something that I know is that the recording of Zen Meditation with Sherry Huber, the CD, it actually covers meditation in a very informal way. So it's for folks who are not actually doing Zen meditation, but it's basically just teaching Zen meditation. It's very loose. It's like it doesn't even mention the sitting posture and things like that, but it does give an introduction to the general concept of meditation. So that might also be a good resource if folks are more new.
And Alex, the one that's Nothing Happens Next, does that kind of answer basic meditation questions too or not?
Book? Yeah, the book does. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really a great book. But Nothing Happens Next.
Yeah, I like the idea of the video. I also like the idea, this is Lynette, I like the idea of the CD, and I think that the Nothing Happens next book is then really a really nice resource to not have to answer any of those questions because it's all in that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? It has an idea of the way we could set it up. You know, I guess people are asking for donations as part of the group. Or actually, we might not be really asking until we get this other part of our agenda done this morning. But as the donations come in, it seems like the group could use the donation in order to buy the books that they need, or the CD, or the meditation video. And, you know, we could just set up a way for people to check it out when they come. And also, as, you know, people who are coming to the group could be encouraged to buy books to contribute to the library. So it's, you know, like a growing resource of, you know, books and CDs and tapes and stuff that people can borrow to really educate themselves with the practice.
I really like that idea because I'm seeing how much that would be a way for people on their own to get familiar with the practice and maybe to get in, have a There's Nothing Wrong With You book there, have the How workbook. What a great way. It feels to me like it blends right in with what we're talking about how to familiarize people with the practice, and it seems like the books are one perfect way.
It has the added benefit that it has no, it requires no work on the part of the monastery, which is interesting.
Dave, this is Catherine. I'm having just a little trouble seeing how my sort of group of one here would work with this. So would, and I think I have the video actually, and I have a cassette of Sherry talking people through a meditation and informal. So I have that. I'm just wondering about, do I wait and see if people start coming and there's interest expressed in that, or could I just say I'm happy to send out an email, I'm happy to do this if people are interested. You know, they aren't coming to the group as it is, so I don't know. I kind of don't know what to do.
Ask. Are you talking about in terms of this little lending library idea we're talking about?
The lending library, I guess I would just wait until somebody expresses an interest.
Yeah, or you could just make it available. Say, you know, these things, there's certain resources that are available. If you'd like to use them, I would like to have them back, please.
Oh, okay.
They don't
so
come
if,
back.
If people come, in other words, just mention it. Mm-hmm. And then they can borrow the video or anything, and rather than my setting up a time to, I'll play the video 25 minutes before group starts.
Well, I'm talking about that. You know, I'm inclined, but I'm open to other points of view, but I'm inclined at this point maybe to leave out the everybody get together after group or whatever and just see how it goes by lending it out and giving people
a
chance on their own.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so we launched off from the 15 minutes may or may not be enough time. If we're not doing the meditation video and we're not teaching the meditation, I wonder if 15 minutes might be enough time for the key groups.
You mean, this is Phil, you mean instead of the regular 30 minutes, you mean the whole group 15 minutes?
Oh, this is for the orientation, Phil.
For the orientation, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about moving the orientation to before the actual evening starts by 15 minutes, asking people who are new to come early so they get an official orientation, kind of like the sitting
room. Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Depends how much you want to say in the group if 15 minutes is. I guess without teaching meditation, 15 minutes would work. But
yeah, all they really need to know is about the, you know, the silence and the
right.
What's expected when they're in the hall, and there's a little bit about what the facilitation is like, and, you know, the things that are covered on those guideline pages.
Yeah, that would probably just be about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm.
And maybe if it turns out that's not enough time, then people could say, and we could, you know, extend it. People feel all right about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mickey, maybe we can make it official in our email that we send out after the call.
Okay. All righty.
So I'm going to figure we're done with that for now. Next thing, how about the, be fun to finish up the donation thing. I've got a copy here. People probably have copies out there too. Anybody want to read it for us to get it started, and we'll kind of see what we need to do to fine-tune it?
Sure.
Dave, this is Cameron. I'll read it.
Okay. Thanks, Cameron.
The awareness practice that is offered to you by your facilitator is the result of contributions by many people. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay. Your facilitator generously donates his/her time to make this practice available. Your facilitator participates in a regular weekly training program that is offered by the monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. The monks are also generously donating their time, energy, and experience to support your facilitator and your group. This work is not possible without your support. We are grateful for any financial contribution you are able to make to the Zen Monastery Peace Center to support awareness practice. The monastery is a nonprofit organization supported by donations, retreats, and workshops, and the sale of our books. There are no rules or, quote, shoulds, unquote, about donations, but people will often ask how much is enough, prompting us to offer the following as guidelines. There is a, quote, right, unquote, amount for you to give. Follow your intuition. If you give too much, it won't feel right. If you give too little, it won't feel right. Either way, you will have second thoughts. Somewhere between those two points is the middle way, and it often changes. One time, $5 feels like too much. Another time, $100 doesn't feel like enough. Whatever the amount, donations are not payment for services. They are an expression of our appreciation for the gift of awareness practice. When you donate money to the Zen Center, you are supporting spiritual practice. Contributions can be made in several ways, colon, by check made payable to Zen Center and given to your facilitator, by a contribution made on the Living Compassion website, indicate that it is for the Zen Monastery Peace Center. There's a little typo there, that it was excluded. By cash, if you desire a receipt and tax deduction, please attach your name and personal information. Note, if you provide your email address when making a donation, it allows us to send an acknowledgement via email. This saves on paper, resources, and mailing costs. If we all support that which supports us, we all benefit and spiritual practice grows stronger. Your donations are received with appreciation and gratitude. In loving kindness, the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Super. Thanks a lot, Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Who has comments?
I have one. This is Cameron. I was thinking that one sentence in the part about the guidelines for donations where it says there is a right amount for you to give,
mm-hmm.
Even though right is in quotation marks, I'm thinking for key groups where people are new, that might be a difficult statement for people to understand, and I was wondering if it might make more sense just to leave that off, because the next line is follow your intuition.
I saw that too, and you know, way back when in the Daily Recollection, it used to say right endeavor, right speech,
yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
was changed to compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that would work here. There is a compassionate amount to give, and then go on to describe how one figures out what's not figures out, of course. But
yeah,
one.
That seems at least like it would. It would get around that right-wrong kind of possible interpretation.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's tackle this one little piece of it. Anybody else have a perspective on that?
This is Margaret.
Margaret?
I think that piece of information is helpful, and the compassionate change from right sounds good.
Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, I like the compassionate, too, because right for new people, it could throw them a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. I'm actually going to offer an opposing point of view. I think it's really good like it is. One reason is we've used this same blurb for about, I don't know, probably 20 years. And it's always seemed, quote, right to me. I think it's because it's pointed exactly that, because it says, you know, there's a right, it's in quotes, so that causes people to question, you know, right, wrong. And then it explains what that means. And I feel like what that's pointing at is it's asking people to go to an experience of clarity within themselves. And I don't know, it just seems completely right to me.
Dave, this is Karen.
Karen?
I just thought one other thing listening to you guys. To me, there's an amount that will feel kind to my heart. I was just going to throw that out there. Maybe that's the same thing as compassionate, but there's just an amount that sort of in my heart feels kind for everybody.
Okay. There's another possibility. Anyone else?
Dave, this is Nikki. The thing that I was just seeing about this, and I'm thinking that one of the things that just stuck out to me in looking at this sentence is the part about you. It seems to me like when we were writing the guidelines, we were making the effort to make it inclusive, so we talked about we. And I wondered if we would want to change the language to something like there's the right amount for each of us to give. We follow our, or at least maybe not through the whole document, but maybe what's troubling some people about that is that there's a right amount for you to give. Maybe if it was there's a right amount, if there's an amount that's right for each of us to give or something like that, so that I don't know.
Hey, Dave, or maybe there's a right amount, how do I say it, that there feels like a right amount to give. I agree to leave off the you, and we have used the word right, but and it's not always, in that same, I don't think you have to be there. There's a right amount to give. I think that's how we've always said it. No preposition.
Yeah, I could really see taking out the for you. That's unnecessary and does kind of add an odd little thing to it.
Dave, it's Rebecca. The thing that sentence conveys to me, and when I was first kind of introduced to this concept, that there is an amount that is right, that is kind of perfect. And I might not have ever really gotten to that understanding that there is a perfect amount that will feel right if it wasn't kind of that explicit. I could either go with compassionate or right, but to keep it in there and to keep it as explicit as it is, I think is helpful. And I like the you actually, because it really does kind of drive it home, but I'm not attached to that. I could go with taking the you out if that's what others think.
Yeah, it's interesting on the, there's an argument on the quote right part. There's an argument that could be made for not making things so that they're completely comfortable for people, because,
yeah.
I mean, if we were some other kind of organization, or we're raising money for just some good project, then we'd probably want to do that, make it as smooth as possible. But, this is practice. And so a part of what we do is helping people to see what conditioning is all about. And I don't know, there's just something about this that, to me, just points exactly at that. Because it really asks people, what is that? Okay, so these folks are saying there is no such thing as right and wrong, and yet at the same time they're saying there is a right, quote, amount to give. What is that, and how does that fit in with, practice and life and, seeing how to respond to things with clarity?
Dave, this is Jamita. I just wanted to follow up on what you just said, Dave. This statement, along with those that follow, saying if you give too much, it won't feel right, if you give too little, it won't feel right, that combination of sentences was one of the greatest teachings I had when I first came to Zen practice, and it's always stayed with me. And for me, the wording, whether we have you in it or not, doesn't matter so much, but having right amount and then what follows it, for me, was a terrific teaching. So I would be happy to leave it as is.
Great. Thanks for the input. Alex?
Yeah, I agree with what, Dave started off with, which is that I would keep the you simply because it makes it personal, because it is addressing people. And I would keep the right because of exactly what we're talking about. That because when the discussion first started, I was like, what are we trying to accomplish by changing it? And I think that this is a really helpful thing for people to look at, to find the middle way for themselves. And it's really like an invitation for folks to do that. So that's what I see about both of those things, the you and the right.
So you would, in addition to the right, you would keep the you in, because that it does kind of, it's a little more direct.
Yeah, it brings people in. It's not like just a conversation about donations as though they're out there somewhere else. I think it actually asks people to look for themselves and to leave out any bit or to change it to something else. Makes it, puts it in the realm of general, and I can generally get to it whenever I want.
Yeah.
Dave, this is Marie.
Marie.
Just in listening, you know, because at first, you know, just watching my internal process around this, at first when it was suggested to take the U out, I think the part of me that doesn't like to ask for money really liked that. You know, I think that was who was pulling for that inside of me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, then as I thought more about it, to me, I feel like we do people a huge disservice if we don't really, I don't know, clearly say what is possible as far as participation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like it really cheats people when they come and don't donate anything and it's made real easy for it to be that way.
You say it cheats people. But,
cheats. You know, like cheats them out of the chance to give if we make it too easy for them not to.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, that's conditioning, you know, that's supporting conditioning in some way. So I agree with what everybody else has said recently, that I really like the right and the you staying in.
Yeah, well, I'm actually on the fence about the you myself, but it's an interesting point you make about giving as a form of participation. That's a real, you know, giving money specifically, that's a really hard thing for people to get, I've noticed, and it takes people a while. But again, it's kind of, to make that really clear, it's like it's a part of the teaching. So even in, as we're, you know, asking for money for support, there's a teaching in it. And I don't know, there's something about that that's really satisfying to me.
One little thing, can I continue?
Yeah, please.
Just that, you know, it's not like the monastery is, I mean, it's not like it's the monastery's practice. It's like it's the practice belongs to all of us.
Uh-huh.
And we receive it and support it.
Right.
You know, in all these different ways.
Right. Yep. I'm going to give the floor to Melinda because she's been trying desperately to get the phone here. Hang on.
Okay.
Thank you. I just realized I'm going back to what Dave said when he first started offering an opposing view. Which is, well, and what I'm seeing is it's been like this forever. This is pulled directly from the donation board that's been around the monastery for as long as I have, which is a pretty long time. And so why change it? And, you know, if all of a sudden we discover nobody's donating everything because we say you, we can change it. But I suspect in the long run that, you know, the way it is now is going to be just perfect.
Thanks, Melinda. Ramita, did you have a comment?
Yes. I agree about the leaving the you in, as Alex was explaining. It makes it so much more an internal process. I just think about there's a right amount to give. My conditioning brings me outside and trying to analyze what would be right for other people in other circumstances, and then make myself separate and different and not of that, and then go in to use intuition. Even my intuition, I could be using that to scope out what's going on outside of me and to really bring it home. It's very personal and let me know that this changes for each of us.
Yeah, it's like we're not, it's not like some generic offer that we can just sort of slide under really easily. To say you, it makes it really, like you said, it's really personal. It makes it clear, you know, this little notice that you're reading, it's actually talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what you meant?
Yes, it is. And hearing the fact that this has been the language for years and years and years sort of lends a lot of strength to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Michael.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this conversation. And I like the idea of you in there because it's it reminds me that my contribution, whatever it is really important. And I like that language around right amount to give. And I was thinking about, I think it was you, Dave, talking about how this is a teaching and it's a practice. And it reminds me of Sherry saying something like, you know, if I'm not upsetting you every now and then I'm not doing my job as a teacher.
She was good at her job, wasn't she?
Right.
Still is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know for me, karmically, I'm on the cheap end of the scale, so giving money is a stretch for me. So for me, it's been important to have that be reminded to me regularly and to be uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, I really am resonating with what you're saying. I also, when you said that you were enjoying the conversation, I realized, you know, I'm really enjoying this conversation too. And what I got was that this kind of thing, this is our practice. You know, those of us who are offering practice, because what we're being asked to do in this, you know, Sherry is not on the phone with us. And so what we're being asked to do in this is to really look and see what actually represents practice. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's really, really good for us. And I'm enjoying that we're doing this in this way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What's coming up for me, and this is a little of an aside, but is, you know, this is a great time capsule kind of material. You know, like maybe someday the folks that are in your key group are going to listen to the facilitators who started the whole thing to have a big discussion about just this one little piece of the introduction and get a sense of what the practice is about.
Mm. Great. Okay, so we've worked that line pretty good.
Dave, I had something else that I'm, Miss Deanna.
Okay, well, hang on a second, Deanna. Yeah. Was this about the current line?
Yeah. Well, it's just when Cameron read it, she said, we offer the following guidelines, and I think it should say as a guideline, because it really is just one guideline.
Let me see. Let me see if I can find that.
This is Ann. I actually tripped on that as well, so I'm in agreement.
It does say as a guideline, actually. It says offer the following as a guideline, or my copy does.
Yeah, so does mine.
Following guideline, I see.
As a guideline.
As a guideline.
Oh, I see. The way it's written is correct.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, let's see. Deanna, I think it was.
I'm finding it a little long, and realizing I'm coming up against my conditioning, which doesn't like to ask for money, and if so, wants to do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But as I read it, it occurred to me that one choice is we could skip the first paragraph and start with the second paragraph. So you would start with, this work is not possible without your support. And the benefit is it shortens it, and it jumps in with being really clear about we can't do it without you. But of course it does miss, my conditioning is aware, it does miss the I'm donating my time freely and all the monks are.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to want to carve out. I don't know. We talked about that last week. I don't know if you were a part of that, but we had a really good conversation about that. Hang on a second. We got somebody. Michael wants to comment.
Yeah, it seems long in the way that it seems long to me as well. And the last two lines, it's like a conclusion. At that point, it seemed like really long to me. And one possibility besides thinking about shorting it is having something that's read, which would be shorter, and then something that's posted, and perhaps like the information about how to pay could be a posted only.
Yeah, that's a good comment, Michael. That, I think that may or may not clarify the length thing. The way I see this document being used is we make a nice copy and put it in one of those little plastic sheet holders or whatever by the donation basket, that it's not actually read in group. You know, what happens in group is just a little short announcement, you know, hey, don't forget about the donation basket, you know, something like that. But then there's this thing here that people can refer to as they're kind of deciding how to approach that. I don't know
Great.
If that's the other
that,
people
that's
see
helpful.
It, and I don't know if that kind of helps take care of the length issue.
Yeah, that's helpful for me, because it seemed long to read, you know, by the basket. Yeah, that sounds.
And then the poor facilitator doesn't have to sit there talking about how generous they are.
Boy, and I just have one comment about that. I think it would be good to read the whole thing, maybe occasionally, because I think it's real easy to walk by the donation basket and not even read the blurb and not be invited to look at what's right for you. It's real easy to just say, hear that, and the donation basket is over there, and, you know, not take that as personal. I mean, not take that in as an opportunity for you to contribute.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. You know, we could add this to the list of, you know, we're talking about every once in a while hitting one of, focusing one of the groups on the guidelines. So, you know, once we get a real established group and we know that they're diehard and aren't going to run away if we start talking about money, then we could bring this one up.
You know, a really fun thing you could do is in the part that you speak out loud, you take little bits from that actual blurb and just, you know, this week I'm going to mention the part about there's a middle way and for different people it's different. And the next part, it, you know, takes resources to do. So you don't have to read the whole thing, but it'd be nice to, like, highlight different parts whenever we do mention it.
Hey, Dave, this is Tracy.
Tracy.
You know, I had been projecting that we were going to be handing this out to people when we do the guidelines or when we do the orientation with them.
Oh,
is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that part of it, that, like, when we do the orientation, they can actually have a hard copy of it, and then, like, as a group, we kind of just touch on it, or were you all kind of visualizing just having the laminated by the donations and people not getting a copy of it?
I could definitely, I hadn't thought of it, actually, but I could definitely see people getting a copy of it, because they'll get a whole little packet, you know, when they get the orientation, and I think it'd be great for
yeah.
people to get this as a part of their, when they arrive.
Yeah.
And this might be something of an aside, but I can just so clearly see a Voices cartoon that talks about that argument about how much should I give.
That's good.
Yeah, Dave, I was thinking it might be nice to have the thing about the donations printed on the back of the guidelines sheet. You know, so when they take the guidelines, they automatically get the information about the donations on the back, because to me it seems like something that a writing that's really powerful that you would need some time to read and absorb,
mm-hmm.
which might not be possible standing at the basket, because, like, at our group, the foyer is fairly small. It's not really a great place to hang out for a long time.
Oh, I think I just got what you said, Marie. Now, that's interesting. I don't know if we've talked about that, but are we making a copy of the guidelines available so people can grab it whenever they come to group? I don't know if we've talked about it. If not, I think we really should. Which would
I thought we were. I've been
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yes.
That must
yeah.
be what you're talking about, Marie. Yeah. So on the back, we put
yeah.
the donation thing.
Well, I talk about the, you know, go through the guidelines, and then I don't actually give them a copy, but there's copies in the foyer, and I say they're, you know, you don't have to remember all this because, you know, there's a copy of the guidelines you can pick up on the way out.
Yeah, and you're saying to put the donation thing on the back of that.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
And Dave, this is Tracy. I'm really glad we're having this conversation, because I had a new woman last week, and I gave her actually a copy of, you know, support the awareness practice, you know, the guidelines. You know, there's I can look in my little folder, but there's a couple of things, or more than a couple of things, that I thought, or somewhere along the line, I got the sense that we were supposed to actually give a hard copy. So I thought it would be it was more than just the guidelines.
Well, let's see. It's what else is there? There's the guidelines. Isn't there something about how to participate in practice that we're giving people?
Right, the list of programs and offering,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Awareness practice, support for awareness practice. And then there would be the donation page if we're heading in that direction.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes, yeah, support for awareness practice. And then we also have a sheet, and it says, in this group you are participating in a facilitated discussion. And I thought that was helpful to hand out. I don't know what other people are thinking. That was a new document that we got. I don't know if it was last week or the week before.
Yeah, that one is, that's, we won't get to it on this call, it's looking like, but that's the next on our task list like this. We need to go through that and finalize it before we can start handing it out to people.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still a draft.
That's still a job. But it would be, yeah, I would love to have clarity on to exactly what we're just keeping for ourselves and what we actually can hand out, because I think it would be really neat if we did our, you know, orientation with people for the first time and actually handed them a copy of all the information just so they can kind of go home and absorb it and they have it to refer to and not just have papers out, because it seems like coming in silence and leaving in silence, just to really be honoring that part of the practice, that not to have all these papers sitting around to, you know, distract people or
Okay. I'm not sure I completely understood that last part. Hang on just a second, Tracy. Mickey, you know, what occurs to me is we might want to send out a couple of that are different from the just the summary of the call. One that has, you know, here's the official list of things we're giving people during orientation.
Yeah.
And another one saying, here is the official guideline about, you know, doing the key group orientations. You know, when we have something that's real, that's like we want to say, okay, this is how we're doing it, we might want to do it like that so everybody who's on the call can know, okay, this is the official scoop.
Okay. And this is Tracy still. In addition to the official scoop, one other just logistical thing, if we're going to kind of get this is how it works, I found it awkward that people start out facing the wall and then having them turn around. I was having them turn around after the centering exercise.
Hey,
and
Tracy,
I'm wondering...
Tracy, I'm afraid that's going to take us to a whole other topic.
Whole other place. Okay, great. But I put that piece in just about the orientation and how to make sure we're all doing things the same way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Do you feel clear on that, Mickey?
I think so.
Okay, good. Okay,
Dave.
Yeah.
This is Marie. I have one other handout that I thought was for sitting groups. And, you know, I may have gotten this a really long time ago.
Okay.
It's called Sitting Without a Trace, Meditation Hall Etiquette.
Yeah, that one, yeah, we're actually in the process of working on that one here because it's outdated.
Okay.
For sitting groups, I think that is an appropriate document, though. We need to fix it, though. We need to tune it up. Melinda, let's put high on our list. And but I think for the key groups, that's probably not something that they'll need.
Right.
Hey, Dave, I just wanted to let people know that I won't be able to send these emails out with these things we just talked about until the middle of next week because I don't have my computer's gone for a while, and I won't get it back till Tuesday.
Okay, I'm sure that'll be fine. Okay,
Dave,
so just in – I realize we're spending the whole call on this, but it seems good. In an effort to finish up our conversation on the donations blurb, I wanted to make one other suggestion, which is that we take out the specifics of the money. When I read that, it just didn't feel like it needs to be in there. The $5 and the $10 and the $100, it feels like the only thing it does is it really kind of limits what we're saying in that paragraph. But I wanted to see what other people thought about that.
Dave, can you read how would you state that? How would you suggest it get changed?
I would take it out. So it would say, you know, it goes back and forth about there's a right amount to give. If you give too much, it won't feel right. If you give too little, it won't give right. Either way, you'll have second thoughts. Somewhere between those two points is the middle way, and it often changes. I would stop it there. What it says right now, there's another sentence that says one time $5, another time $100 doesn't feel like enough.
Well, for me, something about the concreteness of that makes it go in a little bit more clearly. I don't feel super attached to it, but it does feel like it adds something rather than just repeating what's already been said.
Yeah.
This is Margaret.
Margaret.
I just was wondering, was that in our original statement at the Zen Center, the
we
actual amount or bracket?
Last week it had much different numbers. You know, it was written for, you know, after a retreat, and I think it said, I can't remember what it said. Yeah, up to 1,000, I think, was the big number. So we talked the last time about just changing the number and making them smaller to kind of adapt into the situation that's there.
Right. I can see it either way. It does seem like it isn't necessary in one way to me, but maybe it is helpful for other people.
This is Catherine.
It
reinforces to me, if I feel that if I were just coming to this for the first time and I saw that, it reinforces that it really is up to us and there really is a right way. Like the amount of $5, okay, whew, all I can afford is $5. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, you know, that by mentioning those two, that range, if I can give something within that range or... I don't know. It reinforces to me that you really do mean there's a right amount. And
okay.
You're not just trying to get me to give you $50.
Okay. All right. I thought I heard Ann's voice a minute ago. Ann, did you have a comment?
Well, yeah, I was just wondering, what I kind of went to was, well, it's always been in there, kind of like there's a right amount for you. And so I was just wondering, but I'm not attached to it. So I was wondering if you could say more about what you're seeing about taking it out.
It's the number amount. I don't know. There's something about it that gives me the creeps when I read it. I don't know if I can explain it more concrete than that. Give me a second. I'll see if I can. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that I can't really express. When I see those actual numbers, I go, gosh, that it feels like it limits what we're saying in that paragraph.
So even if it said the original thing, which I think it said sometimes $100 is too less or too much, and sometimes $1,000 isn't enough. It's not the actual numbers. It's that the numbers are there.
Well, in that case, with the retreat, that has always felt completely right to me. In that retreat context, and I can't really say what it is, but for some reason, in this context, putting those numbers on it just gave me the whim-whams. But I don't feel strongly about it. I just wanted to bring it up as a topic of discussion.
I'm just wondering what numbers would feel right.
Actually, when Cameron read that, I mean, there's a part of me who likes having sometimes this amount is, a small amount. Sometimes a small amount is too much, and sometimes a large amount is not enough. I like that general idea, but I kind of tripped on the 5 and 100 too.
I did too.
I'm just going to say, I'm wondering if maybe the numbers are not right. they're just two different numbers that we're looking for.
Not for me. Any numbers right there, I would trip over the same thing. It's not. It doesn't have to do with the numbers. It has to do with the fact that there's numbers there. And again, I realize that I want to open it up for people's comments, truly, because I don't feel like I'm in a place of complete clarity about it. So what do other people see about that?
Dave, it's Rebecca. I kind of missed some of the conversation early on because my reception was bad, I guess. But I remember the numbers being 5 and 500. And I think I agree with what I think it was Catherine was saying, that the numbers helped me. It's when I was giving money from a distance, not going to the monastery all the time, not really being at the retreats, but maybe once a year, the numbers kind of gave me a scale of sorts. And it was helpful to me to not feel bad when my life circumstances meant I could only contribute a small amount. And then it also, I got it one time when I was able to give 500, and I remembered that being there, and it felt like I got that teaching in a new way because I was on the other end of the spectrum for a minute, and it was kind of fun to see, and not that that was, I felt like it was a limit, but it just felt like I could see how what I think that thing is teaching is that you don't necessarily stay in one place. Life kind of takes you all over the place. And because the numbers were there, somehow it helped me when life reflected that. It helped me get that teaching. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I like the numbers for those reasons.
Yeah, it does make good sense. A good perspective.
This is Alex again. When Rebecca just said 5 to 500, I did a double take. I was like, 500? Oh, my gosh. So I watched what was going on for myself around that. And then I felt relaxed about it because 500 seemed like a lot. And at the same time, it put it into the context of this as being a fun range, Like 5 to 100, that sounds like we thought about it a little bit too much. Like the adding two zeros to a 5 made it sound like, wow, that's pretty impressive. I don't know if I can articulate it well, but it's almost like it increased the range to a really high enough place that it felt right being in the too little.
No, that was
yeah.
Really, that was really interesting to me. Go ahead, Rebecca.
I'm sorry, but I wanted to say, yeah, because that's what it was. It's like when you say 5 to 500, it feels like you're talking a wide range, that the focus isn't on the numbers but on the range, and the numbers are simply the anchors that help you see that.
Yeah, I agree. I just, as Alex was talking, I got what it is that's bothering me, and it's that number 100. I didn't realize that before, but it's too limiting. It doesn't say big expansion, big generosity. But 5 and 500 would, because they're both fives, you know, that's not even saying like it's two numbers. It's like very little, very, very large.
It seems to me like it's 5 and 500 almost sounds like poetry. You know, that's
exactly.
Sort of wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, 5 and 100 sounds like an accountant.
Yeah. Yeah, contrived.
Mm-hmm. And it's small.
Yeah,
Dave, what I just saw about that, too, is like, say I'm in a life period where life is really abundant and I've been benefiting from this sitting group for a long time, I might want to make a fairly big donation.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of helps me get out of that mindset of $5 a week or $10 a week or, you know, that kind of thinking and to just share in my abundance.
Super. Yeah, I've completely come around to that. That totally takes care of it for me.
Dave, this is Ann.
Ann?
If we're done with that, I have another comment, move to another comment on the donation blurb.
Okay.
It's a technical question. It talks about how to donate.
Mm-hmm.
You go online, say it's for the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Mm-hmm.
And just a question, does it need to say that it's for the Key Group, or does that not matter?
Let me see. Right now it does not say. Oh, I see. Does there need to be a note in it? You know, that would be handy, probably.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we want people to say it's for the Key Group.
I think that's a great idea because it really does what we're a big part of what I think we're wanting to do with this whole blurb is to point out that it's about the Key Group and it's about everything that's being done.
Yeah.
And what they're receiving. I think that's a great idea.
Great. Let's see. Mickey, are you following?
Yeah, I just was wondering, since we would be using this for both Key Groups and Sitting Groups, would we want to make then two versions, one that says Key Group and one that says Sitting Group, or is there a way we can word it and use the same for both of them?
What if we could say Sitting Group / Key Group or something?
I wonder if we could say whatever group it is. So it's the Athens group or it's the Chico group or it's the, you know, Bryson City group or et cetera.
Yeah, you know, I think there's one little piece of work we got to do in the background here to find out how that information could be used and collected. So I'll find out from Bob about that, Mickey, and we'll figure out kind of what the best way to do is. If, you know, see if there is an easy way to run a report on it or something if they do the right thing, you know, a certain thing. Okay, so I'm thinking.
Sorry, just one more thing that's related, maybe for us to consider as we're wrapping up. It's, I remember in the past we've avoided mentioning going to a website to donate, and I think specifically for the reason that people are there in the moment. And when they, you know, they're asked to look right now after having the experience that they had, to see a phrase that says, go to the Internet to donate, for me would go, oh, well, I could do that later when I get a chance to. And the chance never comes up, and I keep passing by the same donation basket over and over again. And that actually did occur to me as it was being read, that I remember we had specifically avoided using references to the website after an event or doing something.
Yeah,
Dave, this is Ann. I understand.
And actually, Alex, we are saying that because so many people these days are wanting to make their donations like that. And also because we want people to have the information. You know, if somebody comes to the group, in this case, you know, and they don't bring their wallet, and then they're stuck to the next group. But if they have a way they can actually go home and make a donation, then they'd be able to do it.
Well, I think also we were not saying it when we had people at a retreat at the monastery at the end of the retreat because we didn't want them to wait till they got home. I mean, there was a place where we didn't mention it, but we always provided the information in writing. We just didn't mention it verbally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the point is a really good one. That when people are in, that I think Alex was making, that people are in the energy of it, they're feeling grateful for what they just experienced, that's the best time for people to make a donation, but yeah, it's a tricky one. Okay, so I'm thinking, thanks everybody for hanging in there on that one topic for the call. That was really, really helpful, I think. What I'm going to suggest as our process for getting this document finished is Maybe, Mickey, I'll get you that one piece of information from Bob, and then when you get your little tool back, you can maybe put us together a final version based on the comments that we had this time, and then we just send it out one more time to everybody.
Yep.
Then we'll need to get it edited before we can send it out, and then once we have a final version, we'll send it out to everybody, making it really clear this is it. You know, this is the final version.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see. So, Marie, is your question quick?
Yeah, it's not a very important question, but I just wondered, in a sitting group, is it okay to use some of those guided imageries? I used one at the beginning of an orientation, one of the really short ones, and I thought it worked really well, but I just wanted to check out that was okay.
You mean the guided imageries that we're putting out for the key groups to use?
Right, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Other people think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes total sense.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, Karen, Okay. Unfortunately, it looks like we're not going to get to your question, but bring it up next week.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, good. And we'll just kind of continue plugging away. That was good. Thanks, everybody.
Dave, we don't haven't taken hold yet.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, because I didn't get – I know some people came on, but I don't think I got.
Okay, thanks.
So these are people who I have not heard, both Chris's, Chris B, Chris L., Claire, Danny.
Claire's here, right? Mickey.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris,
David. Chris. Danny, David, Jen Latender, Janet, Jen Y, Jill, Kieran M, Lisa, Susan, Therese. Okay.
Okay, good. So thanks, everybody.
I'm here too. Sorry, Chris B.
Oh, Chris B is here. Great.
Thank you.
Good. So thanks, everybody, for giving some of your Saturday today. Hope you have a super day. And I think next week, I don't have my calendar in front of me. Are we a Friday or a Saturday next week?
Saturday.
I think it's Saturday again.
Another Saturday. Okay, we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.